the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Brothers and sisters, in and of our Lord Jesus Christ, no one will deny that the book of Ecclesiastes is a unique and powerful book. In the past few weeks, we have listened to the meaning of some of its sections. And today we come to the last part, the conclusion of the book. It seems as if someone else has written this conclusion, but we will leave that matter for the commentaries to unravel. Our focus is on what the teacher's closing comments are doing for us and how they are to guide us on life's journey. He says, "Fear God, for this is the whole duty of man." And in coming to that conclusion, the teacher mentions that he has pondered and reflected upon life. He has shared his knowledge with others. He has analyzed proverbs of scholars who had gone before him. And he asserts these wise sayings form a unity because they were given by one shepherd. Wisdom comes from God, and he leads the wise to himself. And these words of the wise are like goads, that is, like a cattle prod, where the sting of the prong stimulates to action. And then at the close of Ecclesiastes, we have a wonderful shift in speaking about God. Earlier, Koheleth had mentioned God as creator. One of the famous lines was, "Remember your creator in the days of your youth." And now he is speaking about God as shepherd. The teacher is taking us into a New Testament frame of mind as we get a more in-depth glimpse of his discoveries. And so the teacher says, stick to the wisdom that comes from the one shepherd. Of making many books, there is no end. The making of many books serves no real purpose in obtaining godly wisdom. And don't we know it, my brothers and sisters? You see, everyone has some wisdom to share. Self-help books fill many a bookshelf. Today we can access even more source material online. Everybody can post their opinion for others to peruse. We have information overload which serves no purpose. Much study wearies the body. Yes, all this checking out of what others have to say can really be so draining to the point of being meaningless. So, where do we go from here? Well, in his closing argument, the teacher sounds the urgent call to fear God and to serve him. Koheleth ends his book by declaring that life does not end in meaninglessness or in futility for those who keep God in the picture. He says, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, that's the whole duty of man. True wisdom directs us to God. The answer to life's futility is not fatalism, but faith. And so I bring to you God's word, how faith is the answer to life's futility. And that comes to fruition by fearing God and by looking to the one shepherd. Now, throughout his book, Koheleth has given a good, hard look at life as it is lived under the sun. And he has given a fair evaluation of the issues and problems we face in life. And he vouches that what he has written is upright and true. Now, upright here means that he has been honest in describing life as it is, not as he would like it to be. And if we are really honest, we discover how great a similarity is between the problems of life several thousand years ago and today. For we too can point to life and declare it futile, meaningless. And yes, Ecclesiastes is best known for its lament that everything is vanity. The word translated as vanity means breath or vapor. And a vapor is something that exists for a moment and then disappears into thin air. It has no permanence, and it is untraceable. And that, says the teacher, is true of all things in life. What is here now is gone the next moment, like a vapor. The cycle of life, generations come and generations go. The sun rises and it sets. It hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. What has been is what will be again. And so the teacher has observed that life is a treadmill. We have to work ceaselessly merely to survive. And what do we gain from all this labor at which we toil under the sun, he asks? Well, just look at it. People have to work hard for 40, 50, 60 years. And then what happens? They die. And what of the next generation? It labors another 40, 50, 60 years and also dies. It's like the river flowing to the sea but never filling it up. The sun, the wind, the river, it's all action but no progress. And so is your and my labor. Tomorrow there will be more of the same. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. And that's how it is in life. We set goals only to find out that expectations change. In church and in matters of faith, we try to hold on to the Reformed principles, only to discover that expectations and attitudes change in the next generation. And now you may think, well, if that's how it is, what's the point of bothering? Well, that's precisely the question the preacher was asking and investigating. What is the point of life if it's so futile, so meaningless? Is life worth living? Or, to put it the other way, is living worth the effort? Yes, the teacher says, life is worth living. The purpose of all this pondering and all his searching is to clear the way for the right answer. We do not have the ultimate solutions for life's perplexities and problems, but God has. And the answer to life's futility is faith. And faith begins by fearing God. And so, do you know what is the benefit of a book like Ecclesiastes in the Bible? Well, the benefit is that we will not have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. Ecclesiastes points out that life without God is a hopeless affair. The preacher has been reflecting on the secular views of life, and he calls it a dead end. Life constantly throws questions at us, forcing us to produce answers. And any answer that does not put God in the picture shows us how empty life is. And that is what the teacher learned. Life as a treadmill, where what is will be again, and what has been will be again. And now the question comes to mind then, does the teacher have anything positive to say? Is there any good news, any gospel in the book? And the answer is indeed there is, for the teacher points us to the truth and the reality of God, who is the one true shepherd. You see, the good news of Ecclesiastes is reflected in the closing paragraph of the book, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And now we should realize, my brothers and sisters, that this command did not pop up out of the blue. Actually, the teacher has been leading up to it when he pointed us to God. Sometimes he did something that he did on many occasions. For if you go back through the book, you will notice that he mentioned God quite a few times. Let me give you a quick sampling. In chapter 3. In that chapter, he spoke about God having set eternity in the hearts of man.
God has set eternity in the heart of man.
And that God acts so that people revere him. And he will call the past to account, and he will bring to judgment the righteousness of the wicked. And that he refers to God. Take chapter 5. In that chapter, the preacher spoke about the house of God and about God in heaven in verse 2, so that he calls upon us to stand in awe of God. Or chapter 7. While speaking about God's sovereign dealings with us, he asks, who can straighten what God has made crooked, as he had made the good time and the bad? And so he wrote that the man who fears God will avoid all extremes, and that God made mankind upright while people have gone in search of many schemes. And in chapter 8, he voiced the opinion that it will go better with God-fearing people who are reverent before him. And so that quick sampling shows that he has already made mention of the fear of God, of standing in awe of God, and of reverence or respect to God. And that begs the question, is the command to fear God good news for us? And the answer is yes, it is, because to fear God is to reverence him, to honor him, and to thank him. Well, respect and honor and thank God for what, you may ask? And the simple answer is, for who God is, of course. Thank him for being the one shepherd who leads us through wisdom from above. And for us, that wisdom is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ, something Koheleth did not yet know. And that is how you and I have actually surpassed the preacher in knowledge. You see, the greatest wisdom given by the one shepherd is that we know who God is. That we know who God is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We know who God is only on the basis of what he has done for us in Christ Jesus, who has given himself up to death for us. Christ who descended into hell for us. The Savior who promised that he will never fail or forsake us. And we sang, from Psalm 34, stanza 3, the angel of the Lord always encamps around all those who fear him and exalt his name. And with that in mind, the command to fear God is really a call to rejoice in the mercy and the patience and the promises of God. And what about the command to keep God's commandment, which the preacher refers to as the whole duty of man? Is the command to keep God's commandments good news? Well, most certainly, because the teacher points us to the God of the Bible. It is this God who has promised many times that living according to his commands gives purpose to life and brings us his blessing. And for the commands of God, to live by them is helpful. The commands of God are more than a set of do's and don'ts. If you really think about it closely and carefully, then you see that they are words of life. They are life-giving directives. Life without God, that is a sad story. Life without God is like a minefield where a misstep will hurt, maim, and even kill. Well, keeping God's commandments helps us avoid the dangers in the minefield. God's commands points out the path that is safe. It is life-giving. And it's life-preserving. And therefore, the command to keep the commandments of God is, in fact, not only sound wisdom, it is also good news. It is gospel. The command to keep the commandments of God is in fact a blessed invitation to thrive under God. And if you ever doubt this, then think of the Lord's command, or is it invitation, in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Our Lord's words has the form of a command. Come. Come right now. But the child of God, upon hearing the Lord's word, knows that it's a blessed invitation to find peace. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the command of God is always at the same time the gospel of God, the good news that woos and wins the heart. And so while life without God is dark and bleak and meaningless, like a vapor, the teacher lets us know that life is not like that if it involves faith in God, the God who has set eternity in our hearts. And faith teaches us that we do not have to go through life's troubles without any hope of salvation or without any promise from God concerning eternal life. As the book of Ecclesiastes points out, it describes the darkness and the bleakness and the despair of life without God. And so the teacher, every once in a while, lets a beam of light fall on God to make us focus on Him who is our light and our salvation. And therefore, at the close of the book, He aims the floodlight where it really belongs. He shines it on God so that we will focus on the only solution in life's darkness. And that's why He says, "Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man." Yes, our whole duty is also our whole privilege. Because as we do fear Him, we will find out, as we will later on sing in Psalm 25, to His people who revere Him, the Lord His friendship shows. Psalm 25, verse 7. And we will discover over and over that God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. And that brings me then to the second part of the sermon, that faith is the answer to life's futility by looking to the one shepherd. The search for wisdom has been a great theme in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the preacher's quest was to find out how life works, and the knowledge he acquired is much more than just gathering information. Now, it involves know-how. It involves understanding and applying God's will in everyday life. And his knowledge involves especially what someone calls the know-whom. In our relationship towards God. And this know-whom is knowing the one shepherd. And he is the only trustworthy source of knowledge and faith that makes sense out of life as we know it. And if we see that clearly, my brothers and sisters, then the command to fear God and to keep his commandments as our whole duty in life, that begins to make perfect sense. For it means keep the spotlight on God and he will keep you in the light. And so no wonder that the teacher sounds the alarm, beware or be warned of anything in addition to the sayings of the wise which were given by the one shepherd. You see, these words of wisdom from God are like goads, like a cattle prod, which spurs us into action. It spurs us into active service and to help us stick it in our memory. Of many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Yeah, it is so easy to get bogged down in too much study of material that will not really benefit us in discovering the truth about God. The teacher warns against reading many books which are useless research just for the sake of research. The Apostle Paul would later on write that there are people who are always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Not being able to acknowledge the truth makes study a meaningless exercise. Faith in God, though, faith in God as our Father in Christ, that's all about accepting the truth about God. And therefore the answer to life's utility lies in looking to the one shepherd who gives us the words of truth, and he gave us the word who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so the command to fear God as our whole duty reminds us of who we are. It reminds us that we are creatures who need to allow and accept God in our lives. The sum of our existence is to fear God, that is, to honor Him, to reverence Him, to respect Him, to thank Him for bringing us into the light of His salvation. And then we will find reality, and then we will also find ourselves in a life that seems to be so futile at times. For you see, finding ourselves also requires that we find ourselves in the right with God. Fear God, Kohelet says, for or because God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it be good or evil. That's the last verse of that book. And so the ultimate point that the teacher drives home is this. If God cares so much about what we do that He will bring every deed into judgment, then with God nothing we do can be pointless or meaningless or futile. But we need to have faith before we really understand and grasp that. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the ultimate message of Ecclesiastes. The teacher has put his finger on the spot and says, whatever self-taught or experiential stuff we learn on which we try to get to bring about the meaning of life, all that stuff will burst like a bubble under the weight. Faith is the answer to futility. It points us to the one shepherd who in turn points us to his Son, whom he has made our wisdom and the way to life. Our one and only shepherd is Christ, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so, the thousands of years since the teacher wrote his book, if you analyze that, then these thousands of years since he wrote that book have not proved him wrong. Our modern quest to make sense of life has the same foolishness to it that the teacher exposed as faulty, as a meaningless vapor. You see, the options which he discarded, many people are still pursuing. They're trying to reinvent the wheel by doing the same questions, ask the same things that he asked, the teacher asked. Also some of you, perhaps? You see, his words about their futility are timely because we live in a time where there is a making of many books. Everybody has some wisdom and something to say. But what the world needs and what you and I need is not more books, but the right book. There's one book that is essential. It's the book that speaks about God's wisdom for us in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle John writes in his Gospel, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his people, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In other words, the information we have, or the information we need about the meaningfulness of life, is the information that we have. And we have it in the scriptures. And what the world needs, or what you and I need, is not more books, but the faith to acknowledge the truth of the Son of God, who came as the final word, the authoritative word. And then we will learn to live with joy in the midst of a sometimes bleak existence. In faith, we can face life's questions with quiet confidence. For then we will know that in a life with God, nothing is meaningless. I'm so sure. Look around you. The sun may rise and set. The rivers keep on flowing to the ocean. The winds keep on blowing. But it isn't meaningless if you fear God and keep His commandments. For who then fears the Lord, sincerely walking with Him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, life is good under the sun. If it is a life in faith, guided by God the Father, guided by the God of light, who through His Son has restored fellowship with Him again. And that makes everything meaningful. Amen.